are listening to Opportunity Detroit, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. The Pope Francis Center has opened the doors to its $40 million Bridge Housing Campus. Father Tim McCabe, the president and CEO of the Pope Francis Center, joins us now to talk about this transformational project. Father Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, man.
So let's talk about the history of this. You've been working on this project for a very long time, Father.
Yeah, it's been 9 years. I started at the Pope Francis Center. It was the Warming Center at the time. We renamed it. But, you know, I loved what we were doing down at St. Peter and Paul. We have a beautiful program of providing food and showers and laundry and medical and dental. But I realized pretty quickly, even though we're treating people with love and respect and dignity, that we weren't changing the situation. We're simply like kind of, you know, saving lives by our services. But I really wanted to see something transformational. And so we started talking. Actually, it was born out of some real heartache. We've lost a number of our guests. It was the week before Christmas, and a number of people had four young people died of fentanyl overdoses, and a woman that was murdered, and two more died from lack of proper medical care. And so we were kind of reeling from that as a team. We said, boy, it doesn't have to be this way. There are places in the world where they don't have homeless. Why can't Detroit be one of those places? And we started asking that question, and what did we need to do? I went around the country. I benchmarked best practices of 27 different programs in 11 different cities, and I came back and continued to work with our team and with our guests to design a program and a building to actually do that, to end homelessness in Detroit.
That's fantastic. Now, where is this campus, and what does it look like, Father Tim?
Well, it's beautiful. It's on just Warren and 996. It's a 60,000 square foot facility, so it's a very large place. One of the things is we kept it low to the ground, so there's only the residential area only has two floors, and everything else is on the main floor. And so we learned that people are fearful of going up in buildings. So, you know, and all the design elements are about being successful, from the width of the hallways to the colors that we use, all, you know, based on best practices and what we know about trauma. So we understand that trauma is the leading cause of homelessness. And so we're going to approach this as a trauma-informed care approach. But the front of the building where the residents live, you'd think it was a beautiful apartment building. And it's a really well done. Each room, everybody will have their own room, their own bathroom, their own shower. You know, there'll be a bed and a dresser and a desk in each room. And it's about learning how to live. You know, it's life skills. You know, how do you take care of a place after you've been on the street for years and don't have those skills anymore? So we also have a gymnasium. We have a complete health clinic that's available to the neighbors as well as our guests. So that will be, it's a federally qualified health clinic. We'll have a doctor on staff 40 hours a week, along with nursing staff. So it'll be run by Chad's clinic. We have a gymnasium for exercise and for, you know, multi-purpose room. We have classrooms. We have a commercial kitchen where we will not only prepare the meals for the people living here, but we can teach them how to work in a restaurant, how to prepare food, how to wash dishes. You know, it's designed to be a training kitchen. We have a family room, a library, and we even have an outdoor shelter area where there's a percentage of people who are homeless that can't come indoors because of their level of the trauma. And so there's an outdoor area that during the winter, they'll be protected from the elements. There's heated sidewalks around the perimeter with radiant heat above them where they can sleep outdoors. Then we can continue to kind of encourage them and help them to imagine something different for themselves as they'll be right here on our campus.
So it's designed to be transitional, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm. We expect, based on what I saw around the country and what we know about our own guests that we see down at the church, most people will be able to transition between 90 and 120 days. You know, we'll be able to stabilize them. We're addressing mental illness. We're addressing addiction, you know, kind of with a understanding that trauma is underneath all of it. And so we'll have a psychiatrist on our team, along with social workers, housing specialists. And we'll all be working together with them to move them into what most people will end up in. It was what's called permanent supportive housing. So they'll be in a place that has their own place, like an apartment, but there's support services in those buildings.
And will you have requirements for the residents? So in order for them to live there, they have to do X?
Sure. They'll have to participate in keeping the building nice. You know, mm-hmm. they'll have their house jobs. They'll participate in group sessions, group therapy sessions. They'll be expected to participate in a programming of, you know, educational programming, life skills, job readiness. You know, we'll have it. It's all designed, and so there'll be like three courses a day that they'll be expected to participate in, and then you know, just house jobs like you would if you lived at home, right?
Sure.
You have your kids. Someone has to take out the garbage. Someone has to clean the dishes. So that's and that's part of them taking ownership and belonging here.
Absolutely. Now, are you already full? I can imagine. My gosh, you probably have a waiting list already. This is incredible.
Yeah, we do have a waiting list. We haven't started actually taking people in. We'll do that in a couple of weeks. We did our ribbon cutting Monday, and then we'll take 10 people a week for 4 weeks until the facility is full. But there is already a waiting list, and people are coming from other places, other parts of the state and other parts of the country.
Really?
Because our reputation is out there, and they want to hopefully, and that's what I want. My goal is to change the national conversation about what homelessness is, why people are homeless, and what the solution is, or what's effective in treating it.
So other people are already coming here and taking a look at this concept to see if perhaps they could do something like this in other parts of the country, because homelessness is a huge issue, as we both know, throughout the world.
Yeah, it is. And so I've had people from Philadelphia, wow. Idaho. Our largest donor is from California, and they'd like to see it templated out in California. So
yes.
They've been kind of keeping up tabs on us. We've had calls from New York. So I think this is a real solution. I think, it's not rocket science. It's just really about relationships and really understanding homelessness as trauma and giving them the love and compassion and the space to heal from what put them on the streets and help them, and being with them on the journey. Like once they leave here and they go into permanent housing,
yes.
It's not the end of the story. We walk with them because we know that, mental illness and addiction is not always a straight path. There's relapses, there's setbacks. And so we want to be with them when that happens to continue to kind of encourage them on the path.
Now, I know you put your heart and soul in this. You raised $40 million, most of the funding from private donations. Wow, I bet you are just really touched by what people have done here for this project, Father Tim McCabe.
I really am. At the beginning, we hired experts, and they said, you can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. You don't have an alumni base. You don't have a database. But I knew Detroit is one of the most generous places
yes.
on earth, and that's what we do. We take care of one another. We come up with solutions, and we step out. We don't see limitations. We see possibilities. And I just knew that if I took this, and right away, Ford Motor Company came in, Lear came in, Magna International came in. They just all said they want to be a part of this, and it just snowballed. And recently at our ribbon cutting, we had the lieutenant governor, the speaker of the house, the mayor, the city council president, the council member for this district, all on the two co-chairs, all on the stage, all wanting to be a part of this and have been a part of this. So I am awed beyond belief by the generosity and the love and concern that I've seen from all walks of life. And I say this all the time, and that it's people have picked up on now that when we all work together, miracles happen.
Yes.
And this is it. It's when the city and the state and the business community and the religious community and the nonprofit sector, when we are all working together on a common solution, this is what happens. It's a miracle.
Such a great story. Father Tim McCabe, President and CEO of the Pope Francis Center, thank you so much for your time today, and congratulations on getting this done and on this amazing project.
Thank you so much, Ann. Lovely to talk to you, as always.
And I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.